Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening, and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, April 17th. And Luke's late surge got us thinking, where would Luke go if we had to do it all over again last June? This is your boy, Matt Shook, an AP writer out here in Chicago covering the NBA, and been a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade and Pistons follower my whole life as well. Today we're going to run down Monday night's action from the NBA playoffs and look ahead to tonight's games. We're also going to repick the 2017 NBA draft. You can check out my accompanying post at lockedonpistons.com, where I go into it with more depth. And yes, I'll be writing some for the site this summer, so let me know what you think and join in on the conversation on the website and also on social media as well. Also, we'll be introducing a new segment today for the spring and into the summer. Since Pistons fans aren't in the playoffs or the draft, we have to go back to the past. Today, in Pistons playoff history, we're going to relive some of the most significant games that were played on this date from the glory years. And this year, looking back, any time that you make the playoffs seem like the glory years. We'll be talking about those other not-so-gloryful years that they still made the playoffs and talking about what happened on this date back in those years all the way back. But running down the teams that are playing still, I was able to catch the early game on Monday night, surprisingly, as the Cubs and Cardinals were rained out in the afternoon here in Chicago, freeing up my evening. Great weather, obviously, we're having here in the Midwest. I hate to be that guy that talks about the weather so much, but holy crap, it's just downtrodden world here in Chicago, and I'm sure the same out in Michigan. Power outages out there and more snow in the northern part of the state as well. But I didn't watch much of the late one except for the third quarter and the early fourth. You need to kind of pace yourselves on watching playoff games. It's a marathon, not a sprint, as there's such a long playoff season that you can't watch every game. But one that hopefully you saw was a 113-103 win for Dwayne Wade and the Miami Heat over the Philadelphia 76ers. 28 from D. Wade in a fine wine game. His wife, Gabrielle Union, tweeted after the game that he was like a $2 Chuck bottle of wine, and that one cheap and gets the job done. And I hope if you're a Pistons fan, you appreciate an old guy like Dwayne Wade turning back the clock. Now, I know if this were a few years ago, maybe we might have the bad taste in our mouth of the D-Wade and Shaq teams and the rivalry with the Pistons. But one advantage for having a team like the Pistons, who have been virtually irrelevant for a decade, is there's really no rivalries right now. We can kind of enjoy the playoffs. We don't have a lot of ill feelings towards a lot of these teams, although this season maybe Joel Embiid got under my skin a little bit. And there are some guys in the league that conjure back some pasts and even some more recent times that don't really sit too well. But for the most part, hey, these are all guys that are playing on a whole different planet than the Pistons, because they make the playoffs. They're on successful teams. They're writing their own story here in April and May and into June as well. But speaking of Joel Embiid, he posted on Instagram after the game that he is tired of being babied. So obviously his displeasure with being sat out because of injury continues for the Philadelphia 76ers, and you might expect him to return to the lineup in Game 3 in Miami on the road on Thursday, now that the teams are knotted up 1-1. The drama continues with the NBA playoffs. But the Warriors went ahead and covered the spread despite a strong effort for the first part of the game and into the second half by the San Antonio Spurs. 116-101 was the final count. 32 from Kevin Durant, 31 from Klay Thompson, 34-12 from LaMarcus Aldridge in a strong game. I would expect the Spurs to still have maybe one more bullet and give Golden State a tough game on the road coming up in Game 3 or 4. But this series won't go any longer than 5, and it's probably most certainly a sweep, as predicted here and probably by many other prognosticators as well. But tonight's Game 2s, Milwaukee is going to be in Boston again, 8 o'clock on TNT. Boston, 2.5-point favorites at home. Am I the only one who's tired of Milwaukee fans complaining about the coaching and the organization? I would like to go see Giannis and company go ahead and win one on the road against a battered team and take the series, really. I mean, even if it goes 7, I guess you can't blame Giannis too much, and we're not going to start a narrative on Giannis. He had a fantastic playoffs last year, and obviously he'll be a fine player for years to come. But let's go see Giannis dig deep and get a win on the road in Boston in a hostile environment in Game 2, despite who his coach is, despite the strategy of the team and the front office and all that kind of stuff. Just go approve your legitimate top five player and go get that game on the road. That'd be good to see. Washington and Toronto tonight as well in the yearly Toronto on NBA TV series. Toronto 6.5-point favorites to go up 2-0 in that one. And then the late game on TNT was Saturday's best game. New Orleans taking on desperate Portland, trying to salvage a split at home. The pressure is going to be on Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum to deliver after an up-and-down performance for both in the opener. Portland, 6.5-point favorites to even up the series tonight. Some good ones tonight, and really a much more entertaining first round than they have been for the past several years, many, many years, really. I couldn't think of a year where the first-round matchups were as entertaining. It has a lot to do with the mediocrity from the top teams in the league, and probably the influx of talent across the league as well. You got really good foundations on even mediocre teams when Giannis is a 7 seed and John Wall and Bradley Beal combine for an 8 seed. And then you look at the teams like the Pistons, our guys. They got some nice players on the roster. Andre Drummond had his best year of his career, and they didn't really come all that close to making the postseason, as you might remember as a Pistons fan. But we're going to be repicking the 2017 NBA draft almost an entire year after it happened and see where Luke Kennard would have went. That the idea crossed my mind after seeing some recent tweets about him that a lot of you guys reacted to, and we'll see where maybe he would have slotted. And obviously this is a list that's going to be liquid and could change as years go on, and we'll see where we're at after year one. But if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that demo sounds good to you, this is your spot. Plus, we got reasonable rates. So email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Yes, sir! Later on, we're going to be starting a new segment here on Locked On Pistons called Today in Detroit Pistons Playoff History. A great title for the segment, I know, since we can't live in the present with the Pistons as a Detroit playoff team. We'll relive the past a little bit. But speaking of reliving the past, today I wanted to redraft the 2017 NBA draft. A lot of this came from Rick Kamla of NBA TV, who tweeted recently that Luke Kennard was the worst pick of the first round of last year's draft. Of course, we can guess that much of the reason is because that Kamala had that opinion is because who was drafted after him. Denver took Donovan Mitchell at 13, one pick after the Pistons took Luke Kennard at 12. And then Mitchell was then dealt for Trey Lyles and the 24th pick to the Utah Jazz. That pick ended up being Tyler Lydon of Syracuse, who didn't do anything this year. So you might even argue that, and as you go lower in the draft, you'll have guys in the 20s that haven't played much this year, Tyler Lydon being one of those players. So you could maybe argue that some of those guys in the 20s are the worst pick in the draft anyway. But Pistons fans have been fired up about Rick's post about that. Most come into the defense of Kennard, who is a nice player, but certainly not a franchise cornerstone that Mitchell is. And to reconcile the drafting, I went ahead and repicked the 2017 draft to see where Kennard would be slotted if it were all to be done again. And obviously this is something that next year would look a lot different than it does now, two years from now, et cetera, et cetera. But this post is on LockedOnPistons.com, so check it out. I'm going to be doing some more writing on there as well. And when evaluating where Kennard would be picked, obviously Mitchell is among those who were picked below Luke that would now be above him on my list. But you would hope that there's a group of players, or at least some players, who were picked before Kennard who would now have been passed by Luke. So let's have a look if that's the case. On my list, I had Donovan Mitchell number one going to the Philadelphia 76ers, and coincidentally would be teamed with Ben Simmons there. Obviously, I've got Ben Simmons as my rookie of the year, like most of the smart prognosticators do. The idea that Ben Simmons is not a rookie is something that has unbelievably gotten a lot of traction despite the lack of logic behind it there. It's one of the things that's really kind of gotten under my skin lately. And I think you got the number two pick. You probably just flip-flop 2 and 3 right now and have Jason Tatum at number two for the LA Lakers as opposed to going 3 to the Boston Celtics. After Mitchell and Tatum, you got a tier of a drop down. So between 3 and 9, it's kind of pick your favorite. I did go with Lonzo Ball at number 3 to the Celtics. Josh Jackson of Detroit at number 4 to the Phoenix Suns, which is where he was picked anyway. For the teams that these guys went with, I went with the place in the draft order that the teams eventually ended up with after the draft, after any trading was done, after the picks were made, just to avoid some confusion there. Number five, I had Dennis Smith going to Sacramento as opposed to De'Aaron Fox, who they picked. Six, Lauri Markkanen moves up one spot from seven of the Bulls. He went to the Magic in my exercise instead. Kyle Kuzma made a huge jump from late in the draft, late in the first round, to up to number seven to the Chicago Bulls. And then number eight, I went with John Collins of Atlanta. He goes to the New York Knicks in that spot. And then at number nine, kind of the mystery wild card of this group, Markelle Fultz, the number one pick. I just used the fact of his, you know, ability to, and upside to slip him in that top tier. Again, three through nine, I could see where you could maybe have some quibbles as far as moving some guys around. Again, then I dropped another tier there, and I have three guys in this next group, De'Aaron Fox of the Kings. I had him going to the Trailblazers at 10. And then Malik Monk, who was actually picked at number 11. I had him still at number 11 to the Charlotte Hornets there. And then I had the Detroit Pistons on the clock. And for there, you know, obviously Kennard might be a guy who some people might think about still drafting at that number 12. But I went with Jonathan Isaac. He's a guy that I saw up close and personal in the Orlando locker room earlier this year. He wasn't playing in that game. And I know he had some injuries as well. But just an upside and just a huge guy, just a very long, and will be a guy who presents problems for teams. And he's stuck in Orlando right now. You almost feel bad for him. But I think a guy who's got a large amount of upside. And if there's one thing, if there's one, you know, convincing reason why I can give you to pick Isaac instead of Kennard right now, if you're the Pistons, it's the same reason why you should have picked Mitchell on draft night anyway. And that's that, you know, maybe there's a little bit of question about his offensive game. Maybe there's a little bit of question about how he will translate to the NBA. Whereas maybe Luke Kennard, if you look at his shooting at Duke and his, you know, the potential for him to be a three-point killer out there, it's maybe a little bit more of a sure thing. But at least with Donovan Mitchell, so much upside, so much ability to be a transcendent scorer in this league, which he has shown as a 20-point scorer in his rookie season. And I think with Jonathan Isaac, you could have potentially another strong player, even though despite not a lot of track record coming into the draft and not a lot of production in his rookie year. He only played one season at Florida State, but now he's a guy that I believe pretty firmly that you would want right now ahead of Luke Kennard. Then you I drop to another tier, and this is the tier that Luke Kennard is in as far as the number 13 through number 19. And certainly you could make an argument that maybe Kennard would be the next at number 13, or you can make an argument that he's the bottom of this list and you can move him down to number 19 at this point. For me, I had the top player in this tier being OG Anunoby, who was picked by the Toronto Raptors a little bit later in the first round. I had him going number 13, ultimately to the Utah Jazz, a strong contributor for the Toronto Raptors, especially defensively, and has been a guy who's been not shy about being on one of the best teams in the NBA this year. Number 14, and this was one of the tougher ones for me, I did go with Jared Allen, the big man out of Texas, who had a strong rookie season for the Brooklyn Nets. I had the Miami Heat picking him at number 14, right ahead of number 15, Luke Kennard, going to the Sacramento Kings in that slot. I know that there's going to be some Portland fans that disagree with that selection, as they would have the next guy who I had to number 16, Zach Collins, probably ahead of Kennard and maybe even ahead of a couple of the others on that list as well. But I would just hope that Zach Collins, and I know he's a project, he was a guy who only played 1 year in college at Gonzaga, but you would hope that he would maybe have a little bit more production than what he had as the Portland was in a playoff race at the end of the year without Mo Harkless for part of the last 10 games or so, and Collins wasn't doing all that much production-wise, and he had good numbers. He put up 8 in game 1, and obviously that's just one game of his first playoff game of his career, but at times looked a little bit lost out there, and Terry Stotts is going to have a little bit of a project with Zach Collins. A lot of risk, but definitely some reward for that player going forward. And again, we're splitting hairs a little bit there, but another guy that was ahead of Luke Kennard in the draft was Frank Ntilikina of the New York Knicks, who went, I believe, number 9. I had him on 17th on my list, right below Luke Kennard, two spots below him to the Milwaukee Bucks. So it's not like there's a lot of busts out there. This is a very good draft, obviously, and time will tell on a lot of these guys. But Certainly, there aren't a lot of guys that Luke Kennard has passed so far. He kind of held up his own bargain, moving on my list down from 12 to where he was drafted on June last year down to 15, so falling three spots. And then, by the way, guys that were, like I said, were still in that tier where you could certainly make an argument that they could be drafted ahead of Luke Kennard if it was to be redone today. Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat, I had him going 18 to the Indiana Pacers. A guy that, as expected, is contributing right away. He's an NBA body. He does a lot. You know, his skills are cleaning up junk and muscling guys and things that should be able to be translated right away, especially because he's such an impressive specimen out there that he's going to be able to do those things from year one, whereas the things that Luke Kennard types have to work on, defensive recognition, defensive ability, and then finding ways to get your shot off in the NBA, those are things that might take a little bit longer. So while Adebayo is a guy who might have had a better rookie season than Kennard, I still would take a guy like Kennard going forward there. And the last guy in that tier I had was TJ Leaf of the Indiana Pacers. I had him going number 19 to the Atlanta Hawks. And I'm sure if there are any Indiana Pacers fans that listen religiously to Lockdown Podcast, and what's up to the Hoosiers, if you are, maybe you're tired of me crapping all over the Indiana Pacers. So maybe you're a person who thinks that TJ Leaf should be ahead of Luke Kennard as well. And certainly that would be a reasonable thing to think as well. But that kind of wraps up the main points of my monologue there about Luke Kennard. I know there was a lot of talk on the internet about it these last couple weeks. So Pistons fans, let me know what you think. I had him going 15th overall if the draft had to be done all over again. And really, if you're evaluating Stan Van Gundy on a one-year basis of that draft, and you shouldn't do that because it's it takes a couple years for some of these guys to be what they're still going to be. We got Stanley Johnson, who just finished up year three, and we still don't really know what kind of player he's going to be in this league. So, he falls three spots in this exercise, and you could argue he might move up one or two or move down one or two, but not good when you have the number one pick consensus. I mean, everyone who would have taken Mitchell number one now, I guess there may be some Jason Tatum people out there that might argue that, but to have that guy who many of the prognosticators were, or the mock draft people were saying the Pistons should have and could have taken, obviously to have him go next is not a great thing for the front office of the Pistons, not a good look. But we're going to be looking at today in Pistons playoff history up next. Since we can't live it in the present, we're going to have to relive it in the past. Some big moments that happened on this date for Detroit Pistons playoff history. But there's also another new coach in Detroit, maybe another one coming up soon as well, as the Tom Gores, Stan Van Gundy meeting is pending sometime soon in California. But Matt Derry of Detroit Radio is hosting the Locked On Lions podcast as we get ready for the Matt Patricia era to begin. Check that out every day, as well as NBA podcasts for those teams that are still in the playoffs, and those also looking ahead to the lottery as well. Every NFL team, every NBA team represented, also some MLB podcasts coming out too. Also, check out LockedOnSports.com, the landing page that's got all of the podcasts out there, so you can kind of do the buffet and pick and choose the ones you want to hear every day here on the Locked On Network, your team every day. Today in Pistons playoff history for April 17th, we're going back to 1984, a big year in Detroit sports, obviously, as the Tigers were in the middle stages of their 35-5 start to what would be a World Series season. But the Pistons were actually starting something special of their own, too. The first playoff game in the career of Isaiah Lord Thomas III, as the third-year guard, led the Pistons as the fourth-seeded Detroit team played in the first round with home court advantage in the 4-5 matchup against the New York Knicks. This was the first Pistons playoff appearance in 7 years on a Tuesday night at the Pontiac Silverdome in Oakland County. A little more than 14,000 fans were reportedly at games 1 and 2 in Pontiac. Can you imagine 14,000 fans at the Silverdome? Seemed like it would be a pretty empty feeling place. But the Pistons would host Game 5 as well in the decisive series finale. But that turned into an instant NBA classic. We'll tell you about that one next week. But despite the fact the Pistons were the home team, that game was not at the Silverdome, despite that being the home place for the Pistons that year. A little bit of a tease there. But in Game 1 at the Silverdome, the Pistons lost 94-93 to the New York Knicks. Coach Hubie Brown and the New York Knicks The Pistons led by 12 under Coach Daly going into the fourth quarter. Isaiah Thomas really struggled in his first playoff game for the Pistons, going 4 for 11, finishing with 10 points. Meanwhile, Kelly Trapiuka led the offense with 26 points, but it was not enough to best Bernard King, who had 36 points. The New Yorker was really going strong for the Knicks that year. Bernard King and Isaiah Thomas were both members of the All-NBA team, first team that year. They were joined on the first team by three guys named Magic, Larry, and Kareem. But again, Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons lose the first playoff game of his career, the first of in 7 years, but obviously that was the beginning of good times for Detroit Pistons fans, as Isaiah Thomas would become one of the most clutch and great playoff performers of all time. I'm looking forward to sharing memories with you guys as the spring and summer goes on and we talk about some of the Pistons' past, because like we said, there's not much in the present or really in the near future to think about being excited about for now in terms of playoff successes. But go ahead, and we'll be following these stories throughout, like I said, the next couple months. And give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And also on the Lockdown Pistons Twitter account at Lockdown Pistons. And also check out the Facebook page at Lockdown Pistons-Matt Schoch. Give us a like there as well. And tomorrow we're going to be rolling on, talking more playoffs. I got a guest lined up, hopefully for the end of the week as well. We're going to be catching up with the Pistons GT team soon. We've got other guests lined up for the future, another one for the summer that I'm very excited about too. So stay with us and send along story ideas and suggestions and guests you want to hear and all that good stuff on social media as well. And thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy the playoff games tonight, and we'll talk to you all again soon.